Last week, the website Boing Boing recommended a novel called The Last Policeman. It's a murder mystery with a unique twist. It's set 6 months before a massive asteroid is set to collide with Earth and essentially cause the end of the world. What was most intriguing for us, though, is where the novel is set. The murder in the book takes place at a fast food restaurant about 3 blocks from NHPR Studios in Concord. Ben H. Winters is the author of The Last Policeman, and he joins me now to talk about the book. Ben, welcome to All Things Considered.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Brady.
First of all, why Concord? Should I be worried that you're associating the city where I live with the apocalypse?
Not at all. Well, you can if you want to be, but no need. There are 2 reasons I chose Concord as the setting for this book. One is my brother is a resident of Concord and has lived there for many years, so I have some familiarity with the city and I think probably some affection for it simply because I have family there. So, and then also, just for my narrative purposes, I wanted the book to take place in a huge bustling metropolis, but neither a sort of small, you know, it's not a rural novel. I wanted it to be a hardworking, small, but not too small American city. You know, if you set a novel like this in New York, it becomes a book about New York. And I wanted the book to just be about a sort of investigation of how real people would live their lives under this kind of situation. And Concord just felt just perfect for that.
And you start to see the changes taking place in the town and in the people who live there as you start to learn what's going on, that this asteroid is getting closer and closer. For example, the detective, Hank Pallas, is making cell phone calls as he investigates. And sometimes the calls just go out because the cell phone network is starting to die out itself. How did you start to put together how people would act as this crisis is unfolding?
Well, it's such an interesting thing because when people talk about these kind of end of the world situations, it's usually in the context of your bucket list and everyone's going to go off and do what would be really, really fun and sort of enjoy life to the utmost in the last months, you know, which is totally great. So you start to think that if everyone is doing that, then for each of us as individuals, it becomes very hard to do that. Because as you say in the book, you know, cell phones stop working because, you know, people who work at the cell phone companies aren't going to show up to work any more than you are. You know, you might say, well, I'm going to fly to the Bahamas and live it up. But who's going to fly that plane and who's going to be working at the hotel in the Bahamas? So I tried to be as realistic as possible and starting to investigate how would real life really go on, given that a large proportion of people are going to stop sort of participating in the economy. And then there will be people, I have to assume it's true, who are like my hero, who are in public service occupations like the police force, who will feel it's their responsibility to carry on, you know, to do what they think is right and to do their job properly. I tried to really game it out and think through both as individuals and as institutions, things like the police force or the banks or the city government, what would keep functioning and what wouldn't, and how the things that do keep functioning would function in a realistic way.
And in that scenario, a lot of the young people in town do wind up moving to the Bahamas or New Orleans or Jamaica or somewhere that they felt was more interesting. And of course, that's kind of a sore point for New Hampshire in general. So that, you know, the idea that the world may be ending, but the New Hampshire brain drain would go on.
Well, I didn't really think of it in that context, but sure, you know, it's so interesting because New Hampshire, to me, is a great place, and I think there's a lot of people who would want to move there, you know. And let's say it's the end of the world. There are going to be people who want to live in the sort of an unfettered way that I think New Hampshireites are proud of, to live free or die aesthetic. So, hey, you never know. Maybe it would reverse the New Hampshire brain drain.
Now, the detective, Hank Pallas, is investigating what originally looks like a suicide, and the other detectives on the police force don't buy his theory that it's actually a murder. How much of that is their professional opinion, and how much is that they're throwing their hands in the air because what does it really matter at this point whether or not the guy was murdered?
And that's sort of the big question that hangs over the whole novel, right? Who cares? What is the point of taking so much time to trying to tease out whether this was a murder or not, trying to track down the killer, when all of it ultimately is useless because the world is about to end? And I guess the sort of, if you take a step back, the philosophical question of the novel as a whole is who cares about anything? We are not currently, as far as we know, under threat of a giant Earth-destroying asteroid. But all of us will eventually, sorry, spoiler alert, die. You know, that is how life ends. And yet we all make choices every day to keep on living and to do the right thing and to, you know, participate in community. So what I guess, in a way, when the cops in the novel ask Pallas, who cares, why are you working so hard, we can all ask ourselves that all the time. Why do we do any of the things we do when ultimately life will end? So not to get too heavy on you, but that's sort of the point of the book, is that it's this hopefully entertaining, fun murder mystery, but it's set in this sort of matrix of philosophical questions.
And at the same time, there's kind of a personal motive for Hank as well to keep going, in that each character in the book kind of has the one thing that he or she has always wanted to do, and solving crimes is what he's always wanted to do.
That's right. There's an irony at the heart of the book, because Pallas he's a young guy, and he was a patrol cop. You know, he had really just joined the force a couple years ago, but because of the asteroid, many of the men and women who were detectives have retired, have left, have gone off to do whatever they've always wanted to do, and so he gets promoted and gets to do what he's always wanted to do, which is solve homicides. So he gets his big break, you know, this opportunity he's always wanted, because there isn't much time left. So a lot of the people who should be doing the job aren't doing it. So there's some things about the book that are sort of classic murder mystery setups. He's a rookie cop. He's untested, you know, and also it's this thing, is it a suicide or is it a murder? But I'm playing these things out against this huge backdrop of, you know, we're almost out of time. The countdown is on. There's only 6 months left to go.
I like that one of the other characters says that when the asteroid finally does come, Hank's probably going to be standing there saying, "Stop, police."
Yeah, that's my character in a nutshell. He's a born policeman, and people keep saying that to him. It's just all he wants to do is uphold the law in an almost old-fashioned kind of square jaw way. And it's just this really sad thing for him that he is finally getting to do this thing that he's always wanted to do and that he believes in so deeply, when all around him society is crumbling. And the very idea of the policeman walking a beat and protecting good from evil, you know, making sure that people are allowed to live their lives comfortably and safely, that whole idea is crumbling beneath him. So there's a melancholy there. But hopefully there's also an optimistic note, because I like to believe that even in the worst circumstances, there are people, there are individuals who do what is right and who sort of stay the course. And I think that there's hopefully something inspiring about this hero, even as it's kind of somewhat of a grim landscape that my novel plays out in.
You've said you're looking to write a trilogy, and the situation at the end of the book is getting bleaker and bleaker. So are you going to be able to fit into more mysteries before this asteroid Maya hits?
I am. I've got it all mapped out, and after we get off the phone, we return to working on book number two. You know, so this book ends with about 5.5 months to go. The second novel is 2 months later, so it's in July, and the asteroid's going to land in October. And then my plan is that the third book in the series will be a mystery that unfolds within the last couple weeks, right before the thing hits. So with each book, with each chapter in each book, I have to continue to ratchet up the intensity of the situation and people's growing concern and terror about what's about to happen. And also, Pallas is my hero's own, the cognitive dissonance of what he's doing grows and grows and grows. His attempt to maintain law and order when all around him is falling apart, as that falling apart really increases and increases as we get closer to the end.
Ben Winters, thanks so much for talking with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Ben H. Winters is author of The Last Policeman, a murder mystery set just before the end of the world in Concord, New Hampshire. You can see the book trailer and find out more about the novel at nhpr.org.